Daniel chapter 3, again tonight in the Old Testament. And this is a familiar passage. It's a famous story. I sang a song about this story called Shadrach, and I'm not going to sing it, okay? But this is a marvelous story that applies to us today. How to be faithful under fire. How to be faithful under fire. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king. Now, understand who this is the most powerful man in all of the world up to this point. This is a man who answered to no one. If he didn't like you, he could have you killed and there would be no recourse. He was just that kind of guy. He thought he owned the world. He thought he was God. No one would stand up to him. He had the armies that could conquer any nation. His name, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image, which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. I want you to get the picture here. This is an idol. This is an image of himself. And it says that 60 cubits, the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and the height was 60 cubits. Now this is 60 cubits. That's a cubit is a foot and a half, basically 18 inches, roughly. Bible scholars think that's about the size. And so that's 90 feet tall. 90 feet tall. 60, that's 60, and then half of 60, 30, 90. Okay. Fish Hospital. Most of you know Fish Hospital. The tallest point of Fish Hospital, the tallest point, is about 70 feet high. That's a piece in the center that goes up and juts up high. What you're looking at right here from floor to ceiling, this is right at 30 feet. So imagine three times this. We don't have anything in Orange City or in Deltona that's 90 feet tall. We don't. The new Halifax Hospital in Deltona, it's going to be about 70 feet tall as well. Halifax Hospital in Daytona is about 90 feet tall. Okay? But we don't have anything around here that high. And he built this, and you could see in the plain of Durham, in the plains, that's the only thing you could see was this great big shiny gold image of Nebuchadnezzar. And he wanted everyone to gather around. I mean, this was a command appearance. Everyone in the empire had to show up for the dedication of this thing. The Bible says in verse number 3, then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together to the dedication of the image the king had set up. Verse 4, then the herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, hath set up. May I say, I don't know what kind of music they played, but it wasn't the kind of music you just heard. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flutes, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. They butter him up, man. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, all the rest, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falls not down and worshipeth, that he would be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are the Babylonian names of these Jewish young men. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, because he was selfish, he's proudful, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, it's okay. It's all right. I'll overlook it, basically, he's saying. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that capital G God? Who is he? He didn't know God. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Okay, now listen. These guys, they were with Daniel in Daniel chapter 1. They already took a stand. They were already willing to be pointed out. They were already willing to be persecuted. They were willing to lay down their lives if necessary. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They thought about it before they ever got there. They planned what they were going to do. They knew this was coming. And they had decided they were not going to dishonor Almighty God. If it be so, verse 17 says, Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That's the kind of God we serve. But if not, you know, somebody ought to preach a message on those three words. But if not. God's able to do the miraculous. God is able to turn this country on its ear. God is able to heal and to touch and to amaze doctors and physicians. But if not, read on. Not that he's not able, but if he chooses not. Verse 18, Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. How dare you? Don't you hear that thought in his mind? Who do you think you are? Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. I've got that underlined in red in my Bible. That didn't scare God. And I don't think, now they respected authority, but I don't think it scared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because their God made that 90-foot image look like a little ant in their mind. Full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now do you get the picture here? He says, heat it up until the outside basically is red hot. Hotter than it ought to be. Seven times hotter. Hotter than we usually ever put it. He wanted them, when they got thrown in there, he wanted them to be crispy critters before they hit the bottom. So verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Period. That's the end of the story. What a terrible story. No! Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took... Hey, listen, be careful what you do to God's men. The guys that threw them in there... The flame did not hurt them, but the flame consumed the men who tried to hurt them. Slew the men. And verse 23, And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Period. The end. What a sad story. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonied. He was shocked out of his gourd. And he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, look at there. I see four men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the, say it with me, Son of God. How do you know what the Son of God looked like? How do you know? I'm getting ahead of myself here just a moment, but you got to see it. How did he know to say that? The only thing I can figure is this. The glowing fire of the fiery furnace. Fire furnace with all its brilliance and all of its heat and all those flames. And yet the fourth man in the furnace, the radiating glory of him made that other fire just dim in comparison. Like the Son of God. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, ye servants of the Most High God. He's higher than me. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You know, sometimes when you visit somebody I've gone to meddling now. You go to visit somebody, and bless their hearts, they might be saved, they're not going to hell, but they smell like they've been there. And you walk out of the house, and you go home, and your wife says, where you been? They were in a fiery furnace, and the Bible says not even the smell of fire, not even the smell of smoke had passed upon them. Why was that? I believe somehow God just put a protective, divine, eternal, powerful bubble all around them. And they just walked in there. Say, I don't think that's how I did it. Well, you can think however you want to think, and that's fine. It's okay. It's all right. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I still don't know who he is. He's their God. I don't know his name. Well, I'm going to find out. Who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their body. I underlined that in my Bible. Changed the king's word. Folks, listen, please. Look up this way. Don't tremble about what happens in Congress. Don't tremble about what happens on the Senate floor. Don't tremble about what happens in the White House. Don't tremble what happens in New York or in Russia or in Europe. Because our God is able to change the king's word. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language. And he goes on. He says, hey, you better make sure and don't say anything against him and worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How to be faithful under fire. They would not bow. If you're jotting this down, it's a simple outline. They would not bow despite the place they were found. What was the place? They were in Babylon. They were away from home. There's some folks who, when they get away from home, they act completely different. And they're away from people that might tell on them. Despite the place they were found, they were in Babylon. They didn't ascribe to the saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. They didn't ascribe to that. They would not bow despite the pressure that they felt. They were believe it or not, as Jews that were carried away in captivity, Nebuchadnezzar thought that it was a stripe on his power, so to speak, in the world, that he would take the best and the brightest from each country that he conquered and bring their youngins back, and would rejoice in the fact that he had taught them and trained them, and these were from this country and these are from this nation, but now we have migrated them in and they've adopted our culture and our ways. And it was just a way of kind of uniting the kingdom, so to speak. And so as they grew, they had positions of responsibility. They had a position of importance. You know, some people will sell their souls for their position. There's a guy in this church, I'm not going to point him out, but there's a guy in this church sitting right here today that just recently, in the last couple of months, that his company, his business, asked him to be dishonest and told him he needed to do a certain thing a certain way, and it was wrong, and he knew it was wrong, and they knew it was wrong, and they said, you need to do it this way. This is just doing business. And he tried to explain that he's not going to do it. They said, you do it or you can just hit the road. He said, well, it was nice doing business with you. We'll see you later. He's sitting right here in our midst here. That's the kind of character these guys had. People sometimes will sell their soul, so to speak, for a position or for a job or for a relationship or for a fiancé. Despite the pressure they felt, despite the place they were found, and despite the punishment that they feared. I mean, hey, listen. I'm not feeling any threat at all for standing here and preaching the Word of God. I can go down the streets of Deltona and Orange City and DeBary and DeLand, and I can knock on doors and not feel one thought about being arrested and thrown in jail and beaten and all that kind of thing. We're spoiled. As Christians in America, it's not that way today in a lot of places of the world. But it was going to cost them dearly. It was going to cost them their life if they stood for Jehovah God, who said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They would not bow. Number two, they would not bend. They would not bend. You know, you heard Nebuchadnezzar say, okay, now guys, now I know you probably didn't understand fully. Maybe you didn't think I was going to follow through, but I really mean it. I really mean it now. Just tell me that you are reconsidering this. Just tell me that you're willing to compromise and be brought into the fold, so to speak. They wouldn't bend. Even under pressure, peer pressure. Courage comes from a righteous heart. The Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion. And there's something great about that. Whenever you're walking with God and you have a righteous walk with Him, you sense His presence. You know His power. And you believe that He has His hand of blessing upon you. And you're not walking around cocky, but you are confident in His love. So you can reach out and you can be calm. And you don't have to be crazy. And you don't have to pound people over the head with the Bible. You go in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And people sense that you're genuine and that you're real. And there's something about you that they don't have. Courage comes from a righteous heart. Confidence is founded upon a living God. Confidence is found upon a living God. Look at verse 17. Did you see it there? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Confidence is found upon a living God. And this thought about not bending, courage and confidence and commitment. Look at verse 18. But if not, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast created. Commitment follows God no matter what. Job said it this way, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I wonder if those words were in these young men's hearts. See, Job was the first book probably penned. And the Israelites knew of Job. They knew of his patience. They knew of God's work in Israel and how that God would forgive Israel and then chastise Israel and bless Israel and forgive Israel. Israel would sin and chastise Israel. It was a vicious cycle. I wonder if you recognize that cycle in your life at times. I've recognized it in mine. I sure have. They would not bow. They would not bend. And this is the most exciting part that we kind of run to. They would not burn. Now, folks, there are times that God has allowed his people to suffer. The Apostle Peter said that if we suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Jesus said it this way, blessed or happy, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, no one likes to suffer. No one wants to be persecuted. I was thankful. And I was just rejoicing when I heard about that pastor that was released and brought back to the U.S. Boy, that was exciting. But I could not help but think about a man named Harlan Popoff. Some of you may have read his book, Tortured for His Faith. And here's a pastor who was tortured for years. And he gives the account of how he would be tortured. And this is going on today. Today, people are torturing Christians and believers. And it's a horrible thing. But understand this. God is still in control. He is still in charge. Now, we don't have this in the Word of God. We have it in church history. We have it by tradition. I don't find a great reason to disbelieve it, but I'm not going to, you know, say it's inspired or anything like that. But I'm sure you've heard the church tradition in church history that the Apostle John and how that they wanted to kill him. They wanted to do it in a very horrible way, in a very painful, torturous way. And so they wanted to put him in a boiling vat of oil. And according to church history, they put him in that boiling vat of oil just to hear him cry and to scream and hope that he would say something that would dissuade the people that are Christians and people who looked up to him. And they put him down in there. And the boiling oil did not harm him. Say, well, I don't know if that really happened or not. Well, I don't know either. But I do know that they were afraid that they couldn't kill him, so they exiled him to Patmos. And you see, God wasn't done with him yet. And God knew that he wanted some quiet time with the Apostle John. And he showed up on the Isle of Patmos. You know, when you're all alone, that's when God seems to show up. It's when things are the worst they could possibly be, that's when the Lord seems to show up. That's when his presence seems so real. That's when it's almost like you can feel his arms around you. The presence of the Holy Spirit upon you. I can't describe it. You see, it might be a little different for me than it is for someone else. Because God is a God of creativity. Some people might describe it one way. Some describe the presence of God another way. But when you're in the presence of the Lord who loves you the most and who's the omnipotent King of Kings, and he says to you, I've got this. Don't you worry. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. I don't know what they were doing, these guys. But they wouldn't burn. Here's a couple of thoughts as we close. They were persecuted in the watchful sight of God. If it ever comes that God would deem it necessary for His glory to allow us to suffer for His name's sake, remember this, that God is watching. God is watching. The song says, never a trial that He is not there, never a burden that He does not bear, never a sorrow that He does not share. Moment by moment, I'm under His care. You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Wow. Not an easy read. But it is a stunning book that you will not want to put down. Fox's Book of Martyrs. I encourage you to find it, read it online, or get a copy of it or something like that. And you will find that we come from a lineage of believers, a lineage of Christians, from Acts chapter 2 all the way up through, that would not bow, bend, but sometimes they burned. They were persecuted in the watchful sight of God. They are protected by the wonderful Son of God. There's Jesus right there in the fire. He's right there in the fire. When they walked in, excuse me, when they were thrown in, may I suggest to you something? Do you notice something? I believe Jesus was already there. He was there waiting on them. This didn't take Him by surprise. Just like He showed up to Joshua when Joshua needed Him most. Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. He's right there. Protected by the Son of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Peril? Sword? Romans chapter 8. And last, they were promoted by the winning sovereignty of God. Let's read the last part that we kind of skipped over. Daniel chapter 3. Look, please, at verse 29. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king, what is the word? Promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What happened to Joseph? Joseph was falsely accused. He was thrown to prison. And then he's promoted. Over and over and over, we find that even the world can perceive the hand of Almighty God upon someone. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't burn. How to be faithful under fire. You know, it seems like that persecution thins out the ranks. But boy, it allows believers to burn brightly for Jesus Christ. Burning brightly for Him. Because everything else is cast aside. The Lord's prepared me since I was 14 years old. He prepared me that one day that I could be in jail. Now, I probably deserve to be in jail for some things. If I really need to try to drive better. I really do. I'm really working at that. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for the no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Romans 13. If I got a ticket every time I sped, I'd be in jail. Okay, so I'm working on that. I'm convicted, and God's, and those things are there. I'm even fastening my seatbelt and all that. I grew up in the generation we never fastened seatbelts. I'm fastening my seatbelt. and not texting, except just voice, you know, that kind of thing over the, you know, not holding my phone and all those kinds of things. But one day I could be in jail because I'm not going to back up on this book right here. And I pray and I ask God that if that day ever comes, that I will take a lesson from these three young men, these three teenagers. They'd never been to Bible college. They went to the world school. They went to the Philistines educational system. They went to Nebuchadnezzar's. But you know what they were taught as a child couldn't be washed out of their heart and their minds. They were taught as a child by mom and dad the precious word of God. And nothing changed that. And I asked God, Lord, would you help me to be faithful under fire, if necessary? But more than that, why don't we be faithful on the easy roads? I'm preaching to the choir. You're here in church. Bless your hearts. Amen. How many of you are here at church because you have nothing else that you could possibly be doing? Don't put your hands up. You're faithful. The doors are open Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, revival meeting, mission conference. You're here. It's where we're supposed to be. Because God has something for you. If you ever walk in the doors of church and you don't feel like that God has something for you, then find another church. Find another church. Listen, please. I want the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to minister to our hearts and to direct us and we to worship Him and Him to guide us and bless us and sense His love in our life. That's what I want. I don't want people to just gather to hear me. Oh, please, there's a lot of better preachers out there than me. But if Jesus Christ speaks to our heart, that's special. That's special. Let's bow our heads together, please. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for how good you've been to us. And Lord, thank you for those that were willing to give all. And Lord, you showed in some of these cases that you just laugh at the rulers of the world and you show them up with a mighty hand. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Faithful in the free time and faithful in the fiery times. We love you. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Some people might be here tonight, and you're facing a trial. Just pray right there where you're at. Say, Lord, help me to be faithful to you. In the small things, in the little things, help me be faithful and to please you. With my tongue, with my mind, with my actions, with my attitudes, with my talents, with my treasure, with my time. Help me to please you and to invest in your kingdom. Our heads are bowed. Let's stand together, please. All to Jesus I surrender. I don't know if God's done anything in your heart and your life, but if He has, and if He's telling you to come and to seal that decision, I invite you to come and don't delay. We're not gonna wait, if you won't listen to God's voice, you're not gonna do anything with mine. If God has moved upon your heart, you just come to Him and say, Lord, I heard you.